Hello and welcome back to Christian's Colloquy. I'm Christian, you're one of my viewers, and I'm so glad that you're here right now today. On today's topic, we have the ever-important issue of baptism. For those who missed the title, we're going to be taking it from a particular angle. Some of you may just look at that title and say, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I assure you, whether you know what I'm talking about, whether this is an introduction to a topic for you, I trust that it will be worth your time either way, especially if you're a Baptist. Before I get there, just want to thank you for joining me. This was not my planned video for this day. I actually have a lot of videos on my mind, a lot of topics I want to cover over this summer, so stay tuned. If you have any suggestions, of course, get in touch with me, comments down below on YouTube. Or just another way, if you know how to get a hold of me, I'd love to hear your ideas. But just to tell you a little bit what's going on, I was working in my garden today. It is a hot day, but the garden is booming. I'll put up some photos on screen right now. Yep, look at that. Good stuff. Fantastic. But it was a hot day. It is 36 degrees Celsius right where I'm at. In freedom units, that is, I believe, about 97 Fahrenheit. Hot day, but I had to get this video out on a very important topic. So, my message for sacramental Baptists. For those who missed my past few videos, I've been talking about historically how Baptists have viewed the ordinances, and alluding or working within that, I've been suggesting that Baptists historically had what we might say is a higher view of the ordinances. Not to say that certain views don't respect baptism or don't appreciate its significance, rather that historically Baptists have seen baptism more than just a merely memorialistic or symbolic act, that in baptism they saw it as a means of grace, a way in which God conveys his grace, his sanctifying grace, his sustaining grace to his people, believers. And that move that I have been kind of a part of, I haven't been making my own case so much as sharing the history, which is what this channel is really about, but within that I've realized I've contributed to a very small degree through this, my blogs, and of course conversations online, to a movement of Baptists who are interested in being more reformed, more Catholic, more historically aware, and that kind of thing. Catholic as in universal, not Roman Catholic, quick caveat there. But I realized that within that, as this Baptist movement, especially people who are Baptists and hang out too much online, there's some overlap there, are getting more sacramental, viewing baptism and the Lord's Supper, those ordinances, more as means of grace, that there are some issues. So to my sacramental Baptist friends or those interested, I just want to take you back to a core issue right now. Please follow with me as I read some verses from Holy Scripture. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, we find the Great Commission, a very famous passage. Let me read that out for you. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Beautiful passage, but my point here is to set the stage and flag for you, listeners, viewers, whoever you are, that at the core of Jesus's commissioning to his disciples, to the church, the people of God that he left on earth as he ascended into heaven, he commissioned his people to baptize the nations. It's a simple premise. I'm sure if you're a Christian, you're familiar with it, but keep that, put a pin in that. At the core of Jesus's instructions to his people is to baptize the nations. Let's follow that up with a passage from Galatians. Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That is a beautiful, beautiful passage. But you might be wondering, what does that mean? That might not be a passage you're overly familiar with. Let me leave it to John Gill, the great Baptist theologian of the 18th century. Here is an excerpt of his commentary on Galatians 3:27. "Those who are truly and rightly baptized, who are proper subjects of it, and to whom it is administered in a proper manner, are baptized into Christ. Not that by baptism they are brought into union with Christ, but into communion with him. For they are not merely baptized in his name, by his authority, and according to his command, and into his doctrine, and a profession of him, but into a participation of the blessings of grace which are in him, and come through his sufferings and death, For they that are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death and resurrection from the dead. They are led by faith to behold the cleansing of their souls and the remission of their sins by his blood, and their justification by his righteousness, how he was delivered for their offenses, died for their sins, and was buried in the grave and their iniquities with him, and rose again for their justification, of all which baptism performed by immersion is a lively emblem. And this is to be baptized into Christ, namely being baptized, believing in him, and calling on his name. Beautiful passage, excerpt from John Gill. Wow, couldn't have said it better by himself, but I know a lot of words is a bit older language. Essentially, John Gill is saying that in baptism, we're not made regenerate, we're not brought into union with Christ, we're not saved in terms of justification by baptism, but through baptism, we are truly and genuinely brought into communion, or we could say deeper communion with Christ. Through baptism, that powerful emblem, the believer truly receives great benefit, great grace, great spiritual nourishment through baptism. All those things that I just read, truly. Baptism is at the heart not only of Christ's commission for his disciples, but of the disciples' identity in Christ. It's a two-way street. Do this thing, and in this thing, you are in communion with me. Beautiful. One more passage for you. 1 Peter 3:21. I've read this in a recent video. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you just remove that parenthetical phrase with those commas there, it says baptism now saves you. It's upon reflection of this verse that, again, I've introduced this on the channel recently. Benjamin Keach, that great early Baptist, around the same time, contemporaries actually, with William Kiffin from my last video. It's upon reflection on this that in Keach's catechism, question 98 is asked. Question 98, Keach's catechism. How do baptism and the Lord's Supper become effectual means of salvation? Baptism and the Lord's Supper become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in him that administers them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. So, beautiful. Three great baptismal passages talking about how Christ places baptism at the core of the church's mission for the world, that in baptism, the church has a way of identifying and communion with Christ. And finally, in baptism, Christ strengthens the believer. Baptism now saves you. We can read that understanding the order of salvation, that baptism is a way God sustains us and sanctifies us. Christ through baptism by his Spirit, it is an effectual means of salvation. Beautiful. And I know that a lot of Baptists, you sacramental Baptists who might be watching this, love these verses. I absolutely love them. It's because in them we see that baptism is so important. It is not just a mere thing that we do or you have to do. It's not merely a graduation from youth group kind of ceremony. It's not merely a weird initiation rite that Christians just do for whatever reason. It is truly a profound spiritual event. Baptism, it is not just something we do and then it's done. It's something we remember, we look upon, and see God's work tangibly in front of us and before us. It is a profoundly mystical, in the biblical sense, a mystical event. It is a powerful rite. But it's in that sacramental Baptists, Baptists at large, or anybody willing to listen to this, that we need to remember certain core principles about baptism. We talk about what it does and how it fits in Christ's command and in the believer's life, but let's remember right now what baptism truly is. Let me read from the Second London Confession of Faith, a big Baptist confession from the 17th century, which has by extension shaped Baptist life around the world globally. If you're a Baptist today who might be in a Calvinistic or a Calvinistic leaning church like I am, let me tell you, this document is at probably your statement of faith. If you were to dig down deep, your statement of faith might have some roots or some origins in this confession. Let me read to you what it says on baptism. The 1689, the Second London Baptist Confession of Faiths, chapter on baptism, chapter 29, paragraph 1. Baptism is an ordinance of the New Testament ordained by Christ Jesus Christ, to be unto the party baptized, a sign of his fellowship with him, in his death and resurrection, of his being engrafted into him, of remission of sins, and of giving up into God through Jesus Christ to live and walk in newness of life. If you're a Baptist today, you're loving this. This is something that should be very, very, very familiar. But let's follow that up with paragraph 2. This is what we need to remember. This follows right after in the Second London. Those who do actually profess repentance towards God, faith in and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ, are the only proper subjects of this ordinance. That's something I think Baptists, especially sacramental Baptists, need to remember. That throughout all these passages, if you're a Baptist, you know this is true, you know this is biblical. If you're a Baptist, you know this. Throughout all those biblical passages, throughout all those nice statements from theologians I raised to you, every time it's talking about baptism, it is talking about the immersion of a believer. Let me follow that up. If you're saying, oh, Christian, I'm not sure, that might be old school. Let me read to you two common confessions of faith today. The Baptist Faith and Message 2000. I know some people have some question marks around it, especially sacramental Baptists, but just remember what it says. Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Following that up quickly, my own church's statement of faith, which is in line with our broader fellowship, our broader association's affirmation of faith, it says this: baptism, which is the immersion of the believer in water, whereby he obeys Christ's command and set forth his identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. If you're a Baptist today, sacramental or not, listening to this, we are in agreement that baptism, biblically, theologically, and historically stated, is the immersion of a believer in the triune name of God. That's baptism. So I encourage you, sacramental Baptists, as you are engaging with sacramental theology, as you are learning from the Reformed, the Protestant tradition, medieval scholastics, whoever you're learning from to get sacramental theology, to better understand it, remember that as we Baptists embrace perhaps a sacramental view of the ordinances, as we embrace a higher view of baptism as a means of grace, as we discuss baptism as a symbol with power, whatever it might be, as we begin to delve deep into baptism, where it fits in the Christian life, where it fits in broader systematic theology, where it fits in history, however we want to frame it, we must remember that baptism is the immersion of a believer in the triune name. And that brings me to what I hope will be an exhortation and an encouragement. If you are a Baptist today and you are learning so much from Pado Baptists about what the sacraments are, how the sacraments fit, I encourage you to remember, as we embrace a higher view of baptism, which is good, I'm glad we're talking about these things historically and theologically and biblically, of course, I'm glad we're talking about these things. Remember, as we appropriate them, as we re-encounter them, as we rediscover them in our own tradition, they are all predicated upon the understanding that baptism is the immersion of a believer in the triune name of our God. That is something I frankly see many people forgetting. As we are so concerned about showing unity with other traditions, saying, hey, we have a high view of baptism too, I think we also must be bold in proclaiming that not only do we share a high view of baptism, we actually, compared to many other traditions, are the ones who are practicing biblical baptism. If you're not a Baptist today, you can leave a dislike on this video. I'm not hurt by that. I'm speaking to Baptists right now, and I'm trying to be a Baptist who is bold with my beliefs, and I'm encouraging you. Remember that as Baptists who follow the baptized way, we have not only a shared view of the ordinances with other traditions, we are practicing what we know to be the biblical method of identifying believers with our Lord Jesus Christ through their immersion upon valid and credible profession of faith. I could give all those arguments. I'm happy to if people request that. I can definitely share them. But I encourage you, in the description down below, I leave many resources that go over all the different arguments theologically, biblically, and historically. Check those out. This is more a message to my fellow Baptists that as we are happy to come alongside other traditions and say, hey, we also have a higher view of the ordinances, we also have a high view of baptism, remember that there are fundamental distinctions that we cannot lose, and we have, I believe, an obligation to promote, defend, and share politely, respectfully, but also boldly and confidently. So my Sacramento Baptist friends, especially those who are creating content of various kind, I encourage you that this is serious stuff. We went through the verses, we went through our historic statements. If there's one final thing I can leave you with, remember that this is something where, if you're a Baptist today, our forefathers took seriously, and it is something that they were willing to suffer for. Across both sides of the Atlantic, Baptist ministers, Baptist preachers, Baptist lay people, for the sake of their biblical convictions, were willing to be placed in the stocks, threatened, have their churches burned down, and so much more. Baptism is so important. I'm glad we're re-encountering higher views of it. I'm glad that we're promoting these things, but don't forget the core of what it means to be a Baptist, our core convictions around this great ordinance in which we are, as believers, brothers and sisters, baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's all I have for today. I hope that you enjoyed. It's a fun topic for me. It's a serious one. Again, please feel free to leave comments down below. If you're a Baptist, maybe you disagree with something, push back. I love the dialogue. It's Christian's colloquy. I want to have a colloquy, a colloquium. Please, if you're a Pado Baptist watching this, I hope that you just have a reminder that I'm speaking as a Baptist. I'm sure you disagree with me, and I'm sure that you hopefully appreciate that a Baptist is being honest about their Baptist convictions. But if you have a problem, maybe if you feel like I misrepresented something in the Baptist tradition or something along those lines, please feel free to share. Maybe I'll do a video more about open baptism membership, open communion, those kind of things, disagreements within the Baptist tradition. Anyway, that's it for now. Take care. God bless. See you next time here. Christian's Colloquy. Bye-bye.